Ted Turner, the founder of CNN and the ex-husband of Jane Fonda, once famously said, "Christianity is for losers." And what he meant by that was those who rely on faith in Jesus use it as a crutch. That what life is really about is power and money and getting ahead and winning. And Jesus talks about suffering and dying and giving oneself away. Christianity is for losers. But perhaps in some intuitive way, it goes even deeper than that. That in some way, he articulated in our modern age what many people at the time of Jesus thought themselves, that the cross is a scandal. And who could possibly follow one who ended up crucified, cut off from his people, died as a blasphemer and a criminal? And when you think about it, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, God never looked weaker or more dead. Where are the crowds that hung on Jesus' every word? Where is Jesus' miraculous power that went out and healed sinners and the sick, made the dead rise and paralytics walk and the deaf hear? It seems that Jesus' popularity and his power and his mystique all drain away from him in the mystery of his passion. And he is left radically alone, even seemingly cut off from God. So on the cross, Jesus looks like a loser. He has lost everything. And yet the Lord raised this loser to new life, and it's in the power of Jesus' resurrection that we find the possibility of salvation, the promise of forgiveness, the healing of our lives, the transformation of the meaning of our existence. We've come here this morning because we say that in Jesus Christ, we have found the one. We have found the Savior. We have found the Messiah. It's interesting, when Jesus is speaking about the cross, his disciples are speaking about who is the greatest among them. They don't get it yet. They don't get it then. They don't get it at the cross. They finally get it at the moment of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit transforms their consciousness. And they begin to see Jesus' way of looking at things. And it gives them the power to lay down their lives, even to the point of death. When we look at our lives, then, so often we want to present our strengths, our victories, our goodness, the things that we do well, our accomplishments to God. And in response, God probably looks at us with great tenderness and love and says, "I'm not really that impressed." So we try to impress God, and we can't impress him because everything that we have is a gift from him. Conversely, what the Lord invites us to do is to give him our sins, our weaknesses, our illnesses, our fears, all that is wrong with us, all that is dark within us. It's that that he seeks out. It's that that he finds attractive. And when we try to hide that from him, we also block his saving power to work within us. When we lay it all before him, he can work, he can heal, he can forgive, he can love us. The only people in the scriptures that really arouse Jesus' anger are the self-sufficient, those who don't think they need a Savior, those who think they're justified already. "I've got it all put together. I really don't need you, Jesus." And so we come here this morning in our radical neediness. Perhaps we come here this morning fighting an addiction. Perhaps we come here this morning struggling with cancer. Perhaps we come here this morning struggling with a marriage that is in crisis. Perhaps we're elderly and our aches and pains are catching up with us and remind us of the nearness of death. Perhaps we're young and we're trying to figure out what life is all about, and it all seems rather confusing. The Lord invites us to place all of that upon the altar this morning, along with the bread and wine, and ask the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to lift it up, to make it a gift to him. That the gifts that the Lord seeks from us, perhaps are not so much what we think are the gifts, but in fact what we see as the liabilities. In other words, the Lord asks us to bring our cross and unite it to the cross of Jesus. In my understanding, it seems Christianity is the world religion that takes suffering the most seriously and the most profoundly, because we believe that God himself suffers with us in the person of Jesus. It isn't as if he writes a treatise on the meaning of suffering and then hands it to us. He enters into the dark night of suffering himself and heals it from within. And so we can walk into the dark night of our suffering knowing that the Lord understands, feels, and loves and walks with us because he's been down that road himself. It's that compassion that we celebrate every time we come to the Eucharist. It's one thing to give sympathy from the safety of distance. Compassion means crawling down into the hole with the one who suffers and to suffer with that one. Is that not what Jesus does for us when he lays his life down on the cross for us? So bring to him whatever's wrong in your life today. Bring to him all the messes, all the disorder, all the dysfunction, all the sin, all the craziness, all the fear. Because that's what Jesus wants us to bring to him, so that he can heal it, forgive it, love it, and lift us up in the power of the resurrection. Every time we celebrate Mass, and especially during the sacred Triduum at the time of Easter, we celebrate not the miracles of Jesus, not the healings of Jesus, not his divine power. We celebrate his weakness. And God comes to us in weakness and in vulnerability, not in glory and strength. The powers of this world seek the throne, seek the splendor, seek the prestige. God sneaks in the back door and takes the lowest place and invites us to sit there with him and to experience the glorious freedom of simply being loved for who we are, not what we do, not what we possess, not what we have accomplished, but simply because we are children of God. And it's that identity and that mystery that we celebrate and enter into even more deeply. In just a few minutes, we're all going to come forward and receive Holy Communion. And at that moment, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, the Lord of life, the eternal, mysterious, invisible, supernatural God, places himself into our hands. So much he loves us. Makes himself that vulnerable, that small, that weak, and he invites us to do the same, to discover that it's in the seeming surrender to the precepts of our faith that we find freedom. It's in the surrender to the cross that we find life. It's in embracing our weakness that we find the strength of the risen Christ. It's the central paradox of our faith, and we pray for the grace to live it with all of our heart, and to find the joy of being loved precisely in the weak and dark places of our lives that we try to hide from and that we try to cover over. When we go to the doctor, he always says to us, "Let me see what hurts. Show me your wounds." And if out of some sense of pride or self-sufficiency, we said, "Doctor, I can't show you that," would he not say, "Well, then I cannot heal you"? It's the same with Jesus. Jesus comes to us and says, "Show me your wounds. Show me where it hurts. Let me love you precisely in the broken places. And it is there that you will find life." We give praise and thanks to God this morning for such a remarkable mercy and such an infinite love that is beyond our grasp to understand. All we can do is receive it and then pass it on to others.